50. Psalm 50, for time's sake, because we've spent some time this morning. Just look down at verse 5. It says, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We love you. We want to worship you. We want to give you honor and glory. I want you to know that we care for you and that you are in our hearts. Lord, we just want to lift up and exalt and magnify thy name. I pray now, Lord God, that you would bless the folks assembled in this place. May something said or read would be a blessing and a help and encouragement to God's people. And Lord God, I pray that in all things and in every way, you would help us to magnify and exalt thy name, for thou art worthy. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, back in 1999, I brought you a message off of this same verse called The Greatest Gathering of All, and we brought the message on the thought of gather my saints unto me. And we talked about the rapture. This morning I want to use that text, but I want to bring an entirely different message, and I just use this kind of as a springboard, because down there it said, gather my saints together unto me. I want to talk to you this morning about the saints. I've been a saint now for 34 years. You say, preacher, you're mean as the devil. You're rude, crude, and socially unacceptable, and obnoxious, and contrary, and ain't nobody likes you but your mama, and the only reason she does, she ain't here no more. That may be true, but I'm a saint anyway. Amen. I got born into sainthood. One time I got born into the Hensley clan, and like it, lump it, hump it, thump it, dump it, or jump it, ain't nothing I can do about that. I are one, and there's been a time or two when I was proud. There's been a lot of times when I was ashamed to be one, but I am one no matter what. Then I got born again into the family of God, and God made me a saint. So, well, you don't act like much like a saint. I know it. I know it. I'm working on it. I really am. I'll tell you the honest truth, though. I don't think y'all ought to throw rocks. Amen. Some of y'all don't act like it neither. Amen. Amen. And if y'all need help finding out how it is or y'all not saintly, you ask me. I'd be glad to explain it to you. Amen. I've noted all your faults and got them written down in a notebook. There are times, though, when every child of God does not reflect his calling. Amen. But we ought to. That ought to be the goal of our life. The saints ought to strive to be saintly. And so I got to thinking about that, and I wrote down some things here, some attributes or characteristics or traits or whatever you want to call them of the saints. If you're saved by God's grace, these things ought to be so. These things ought to be real in your life. Amen. And if they're not, you need to get working on your sainthood. Amen. Amen. The hood on your sainthood is dented. It needs to be fixed. And so let me give you some things about the saints. Of course, a lot of folks run around pretending to be saints that ain't saints. See? Something like that. First thing we need to do is to make sure that we are, in fact, a saint. The Bible said in Psalm 30 and verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 2 said, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so if you're saved, you are a saint. Amen. You need to understand that. And because you are, you ought to live like that. The Bible said, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. And the reason they were called Christian is because they had learned to look and act and talk like Jesus Christ. And they were poking fun at him. When they called the disciples Christian, they said that in derision. They were being derogatory. They say, oh, they all, every one of them just wants to act like little Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Well, thank God. Let's be more like Jesus, and let's be more saintly. Now, first thing you need to do is make sure that you are, in fact, a saint. And so let me cover that briefly, just in case anybody is here who is religious, who is baptistic, but you've never been saved. The first step in being a saint is to be saved. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 said, but according to his mercy he saved us. Hebrews 7:25 said, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost them that come to him by God. Now the first step into sainthood is salvation. I mean everything's got to have a starting place. There was a time when it wasn't, and now there's a time when it is. Everything's got to start someplace. You know, they've been debating for years on the abortion thing. When does life begin? Does it begin at birth, when the child comes forth from the womb, or does it begin at conception? Now, I don't have any argument. I know where it starts. Amen. I got a Bible. I know exactly where it starts. So it's not my argument. But my point is, they've been arguing about it because even though they can't agree on it, they all agree on one thing. There has to be a place where it starts. Amen. Now, you weren't born a Christian.
Amen.
You are not born saved. There had to be a time and a place, a moment in history where you passed from death unto life. There had to be a time when you became a new creature created in Christ Jesus. There was a spot, how infinitely small or narrow it may be. There was a place where you were lost, and then a place where you were saved. And the transaction took place in a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye, and what was one old creature died and became another creature and was raised up in Christ Jesus. There must be a time and a place when you were saved or converted. Amen. People say, oh, well, I've always been a Christian, or I'm trying to be a Christian. There ain't no trying. You are or you're not. And no, you weren't always one. There has to be a spot where you came to repentance for your sins and faith in Jesus Christ and received him by faith. And if you did that, you're a child of the King. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But if you haven't received him, you're still lost. You are dead in trespasses and sin. You are headed to hell. You are not a child of the King. And you are not, I repeat with all the emphasis I can manage, you are not a saint. All the saints are saved by God's grace. So if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, there's no place in your memory, there's no place in your recollection where you repented of sin, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and received him as your Savior, you're still lost. And you need to get saved this morning. And I pray and trust that you'll do that before you leave here today. Amen? Now, if you're a saint, I don't know whether you are or not. Now, I've talked to some of you, and sometimes you don't talk very saintly. Amen? And I'll be honest with you, I always thought that the saints would have a better vocabulary than some of us display. It's hard for me to believe that the saints really use some of the language that some of y'all use. Somebody say amen. But if you're a saint, if you are, then you're sealed. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I love this doctrine of sealization. So where'd you get that word? Well, I heard a little boy tell my wife one time that he couldn't come to something because he was on groundation. I don't know what that word means. I think he was trying to say he was grounded, but he invented a word. Amen? So I'm inventing a word. Sealization. Because when you get saved, you get sealed. Amen? Now, buddy, I tell you what. Now, that's exciting doctrine. You say, what's exciting about it? Man, one night at 25 minutes after 11, I bowed my knee, put my face down in my hands, and wept bitter tears, and gave my heart and soul to Jesus Christ, and God saved me. And when he did, he sealed me. Amen? You say, what's so special about that? Well, let me show you what he did for me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible said, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. Ephesians 1, 13, it said, in whom also, after that we believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But I love this one right here. Ephesians 4, 30 said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen. That means when I got saved, God sent the Holy Spirit into my heart. He said, I want you to put a stamp on it. I want you to put a seal on it. And I want you to leave it there under the redemption of the purchased possession. Amen. Now remember when Jesus got crucified and Pilate gave him, the soldier, and said, take him up there and bury him in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. He said, take him and put a seal on it and make it sure. And what they did, they rolled that big stone in front of that thing. Then they took a big block of wax and stuck it on the crack. And then they put a seal in the middle of it. And so if you move that stone, it cracked that wax, and that seal would have a mark. And you can tell whether or not it's been opened or closed. Amen? If that seal is intact, that grave has not been opened. Amen? Whatever you put in there is still in there. Now, when I got saved, God put a seal on my heart. He said, I'm going to take your soul and cut it loose from the flesh, and I'm going to seal it. I'm going to put it inside of something. I'm going to coat it with the Holy Ghost. And when you get saved, you are sealed, and that seal will remain under the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, what did he redeem? He didn't redeem my body. He redeemed my soul. The Bible said that the flesh is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Amen. My body is going in the ground because of sin. I wish some folks would get that straight. They think because they have spiritual forgiveness for sins that they committed, that relieves them of all responsibility for the flesh. It does no such thing. Amen. If a man commits murder and gets saved, he can say, I have been forgiven, it is under the blood. And that's a true statement. But we're still going to stick a needle between his toes. Amen? If a fellow robs a bank and he gets caught, he can get down to the jailhouse and get some of that jailhouse religion, Brother Lewis, Brother Steve, go down and preach to him, and he gets saved by God's grace. Thank God he can say, oh, it's under the blood, I've been forgiven. And that's true. But it does not take away the consequence that follows the actions in the flesh. You still got to go to jail for 15 to 20. Amen. Amen. We got this mentality these days. You say, oh, well, I'm forgiven. That means there's no consequence. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. There's always a consequence. Anyway, when I got saved, I got sealed. What does that mean? That means that I am safe until God comes to get what God bought. You say, well, I've seen you do wicked things, preacher. You wouldn't know the half of it. And I'm not going to tell. Amen. Now, I bet y'all done some wicked things since you got saved, too. Amen. I bet you done some things you've been ashamed of. I bet you've done some things, and as soon as you did, you said, Lord, why did I do that? I'd give anything if I hadn't said that, if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't gone there. Lord, I purged my mind. I don't even want them kind of thoughts roaming through my brain. Amen? But you did it. So are you lost? Well, you ought to be. We deserve to be. God knows we got it coming, but I'm not. Say, why? Because he sealed me. Amen? And we are kept by the power of God. What is that power? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seals you, and the Holy Spirit keeps you. Now, you can do a lot of things in the flesh, and God will get angry, and God will spank you and turn you upside down and wear your little backside out. I believe that. Amen. Now, I know that Charles Capps on radio don't believe that, but I believe that anyway. Amen. Amen. I just believe he's nuts. I believe he's a good old boy and loves God. I think he's just crazy. Amen. I think if you do at it, and God speaks to you, admonishes you, and rebukes you, and you keep it up, and God will turn you upside down and turn you across his knee and wear you out. Amen. Amen. But I'm not going to lose my salvation. So why? Because I am sealed under the redemption of the purchased possession, and the thing that was bought was my eternal, immortal soul. And it was bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. Don't know about you, son. I've been rejoicing in that for about 34 years. Amen. Not only are the saints saved, they're sealed, and not only are they sealed, they're singing. Ephesians 5:19 said, speaking unto yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16 said, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Psalm 33:3 said, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud voice. Confess to me, God, if you're a saint of God, you ought to have a song.
Amen.
Amen. And it ought not to be Charlie Pride or whoever's Waylon Jennings.
Alan Jackson.
Whoever. Ought not to be some country singer.
Amen.
Amen. Singing about my wife left me and, you know, I'm down on my luck and I got a bottle in the car and I've run off with so-and-so's wife and this. I want to listen to that stuff all about that cheating and adultery and fornicating and doping and drink. Listen, I got saved out of that stuff. I don't want to go back to that.
Amen.
Amen. I want to sing about Jesus. I want to sing about going home. I want something to put joy in my heart. I want something to lift me up. I want something when I got trouble and my heart is heavy, take my burden away. Amen. That's what I want. I want something that'll help me to get through the rough spots and the tough spots. I want something that'll help me when the world's crashing in. I don't need somebody else's trouble.
Amen.
My soul, man, don't you understand country music? That's suicide music. That's what I do if I listen to it long. Oh, Hank Williams and all them boys, all them songs are so sad. And so pitiful. I remember Ernest Tubb when I was growing up, walking the floor over you. And it wasn't because she was under it. He was walking it because she ran off on him. See? And he was pacing back and forth, that kind of walking. All them songs are sad. It's always about somebody left me, somebody cheating on me. Amen? Man, you get to listen to that stuff, you get about half drunk, first thing you go, you got a 38 in your hand. That's suicide. I don't need that stuff.
Amen.
Listen, I got the joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Amen. I'm going to keep the joy. I don't want to talk about somebody blowing their brains out. I don't want to talk about somebody's wife running off. That ain't music. And rock and roll ain't no better.
Amen.
That's all about killing cops, mutilating animals, degrading women. It's all dirty. It's all about sex. It's all about everything we're supposed to hate. Listen, if you saved, you ought to be singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You ought to sing the best you can. You ought to play skillfully. And you ought to be about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. In my house, we got one kind of music.
Amen.
One kind. Southern gospel.
Amen.
So, well, I kind of like some of that contemporary stuff. Yeah, you'd be headed left before you know it, too. Amen. Some of y'all didn't get that. But. Son, stick to the Southern God. Stick to those songs that glorify Him and brag on Him and lift Him up and exalt Him. And I guarantee you, if you will sing songs and listen to music that exalt the Lord, before you know it, you will find your spirits are lifted and your burden is gone. I'll tell you, the best thing you ever did, the best therapy there is for God's people is either to spend time praying or spend time singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And it ain't got to be hokey, and it doesn't have to be unprofessional. You know what that verse said? It said, play skillfully. Nothing wrong with musicians being good at what they do. There's nothing wrong with them practicing and rehearsing.
Amen.
I'm sick and tired of folks come, you know, they're going to sing a song. Or, now, y'all pray for us. You know, we're not good singers, just y'all listen to the words. Hey, stupid! If you're going to sing and play, then practice.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what how'd you like me to get up here and preach and not have thought about it? What if I got up here to preach and I didn't have any scripture? I didn't have any points? We wasn't going nowhere. I was just going to talk to you for an hour. Wouldn't that be exciting? Now, I've listened to them kind of preachers. That's the boringest thing in the world. You listen to that guy, you say, well, he said a lot of good stuff. Yeah, but what did he mean? Where was he going? What was the point? I listen to them all the time. And I'm reasonably intelligent. I'm not a genius, but I ain't moron neither. Amen. I listen to them guys and I get through and I say, what was the point? I just spent 30 minutes of my time listening to that guy, and I don't know one thing under God's blue sky I didn't know before I started. That guy didn't admonish me. He didn't rebuke me. He didn't instruct me. He didn't lift me up. He didn't do nothing. Amen? Man, make me mad, make me glad, make me sad, but do something to me. Don't let him take my 30 minutes and don't do something to me. Amen? Let's go. If you're saved, you ought to have a song. Now, I never sung before in my life before I got saved. That's a good thing. A good thing. And I've been singing ever since I got saved. And that's a shame. And so I reserve it to the front seat of my truck and various and sundry places where it's no human ear within hearing distance. I don't have a good voice. I have a terrible time with tone and pitch and rhythm and octaves and all that stuff, you know. And all them beats and spaces and 4-4 and 3-4 and 2-4 time and all. I don't understand none of that stuff. I know all them terms don't mean squat to me. Amen? I just know that every time I turn around, there's something down in my heart that makes me want to sing about Jesus Christ. And when I can't sing, blessed be God, I buy them little round plastic discs and I throw them in that player and I let somebody else sing to me. And I turn it up real loud so I can't hear me and I pretend I'm them. And I do good. I do good when I'm listening to them. Amen? I enjoy myself. Say, why? I got a song. I'm saved. I'm sealed. I'm sanctified. I'm on my way to glory. My sins are gone. Amen. Heaven is my home. I could swing out over hell on a rotten corn stalk and shoot a squirt gun at the devil. I heard that somebody else say that. But it sounded good. Amen. Now, if you're saved and sealed, you ought to have a song. You ought to be singing. Now, you ought to walk around your shop humming to yourself. You ought to ride down the road singing to yourself. You take a shower, you ought to be singing to yourself. You hear somebody else singing, you ought to join in with them. Amen? Amen. Brother Steve singing a minute ago, and I can't sing like Brother Steve, but I sung every word with him. Amen? Amen. And in my mind, I was as good as he was. And y'all will never know whether I was or not because I sang it real low. People run around here listening to opera and jazz and country and western and rock and roll and hip hop and bluegrass and all this. And it ain't about God. What's wrong with you? What's wrong? You're saved? All your singing, all your praise, all your time. You ought to spend it glorifying Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I'm sealed. I'm singing. And then if you're a saint, you ought to be serving. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 said, and how ye turn from to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Acts 20, 19 said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. If you're saved, if you're a saint, you ought to serve God. Amen. People say, well, I go to church. That ain't serving. That's being served. You come down here to get fed. You come down here to get a drink. You come in here and sit down at the table, and I'm the waiter. It's my job is to fill your plate and fill your cup. You ain't serving God down here. Amen. That's the reason, you know, you go to a lot of Baptist churches, and they have a sign back there and a sign back here, and it'll say, enter to worship. And do what? Leave to serve. Amen. You come down here and I preach and we sing and you get all pumped up and full of God. And boy, you're as happy as a jaybird and the Holy Ghost is all in you. Boy, and you say, man, I'm so excited about being saved. And you walk out that back door, that's where you serve the Lord. That's where you go out there and tell a dying world about a Savior that can redeem them from every sin and from every stain and give them eternal life, that can keep them out of the devil's hell, that can take them home to glory. That's where you go to serve. That's where we go to do good works. That's where we go to take care of all men. That's where we go to take care of the widows and the orphans. That's where we go to preach the gospel. We serve out there. The idea of coming to church and say, well, I serve the Lord down at King James Baptist Church. Yeah, well, what do? Well, I go to church. Well, la-dee-da. Ooh. Bully for you. You ought to go to church. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. Amen. The Bible said in Acts 20:28 that God purchased the church with His own blood. You ought to be in church. It's where you come to assemble with the saints. Amen. It's where God's people come to get fed and to fellowship and all that stuff and get refreshed so that we can go out in the world and serve. The idea you come down here and to serve. Lord have mercy. 21st century got everything all mixed up. Amen? You ought to be serving the Lord. The Bible said there in Hebrews 12:28, let us have grace whereby we may serve the Lord acceptably. Now, I preached you a message on that verse a couple years ago called acceptable service. So why'd you do that? Because not all service is acceptable. You think God's going to take your table scraps and your junk? You're working with the wrong God. Amen? You better give some acceptable service. And, but in that verse, I'm not going to preach that message again this morning. But in the latter part of that, which I didn't preach on, which I could preach on, which I might preach on yet, it said with reverence and godly fear. With reverence and godly fear. You know what's missing in the 21st century Christian experience? There is no reverence for God. There's no reverence. He is a great King. He is a mighty God. And here you come into the presence of the highest, the most powerful, the most holy being in all of the universe and come in here and look like you've been out ranching. I'm going to make them all mad now, sissy. I don't care. God Almighty is due your respect. God, you ought to reverence Him. And you ought to come before His presence not only with singing but with godly fear. It's God Almighty. You know, down south, all the ladies get dressed nice for Sunday church. They do. You ever notice that? All the ladies put on their dresses and they're all down below their knees in the middle of the calf and they get their neckline up where it's supposed to be and most of them don't wear the sleeves, you know. I mean, they got a little common sense. They cover up their nakedness and the ladies always look pretty nice. But down south, boy, it's a sin against God and humanity to tell a man he ought to put on a coat and tie. Well, I think you ought to be able to come as you are. But you know why you think that? Because you never had a fault in your life. Amen. If you'd done any kind of thinking at all, you'd know you're supposed to come before His presence with reverence and respect. You wouldn't go see the President of the United States. Amen. You won't go to a wedding. You ever notice how them guys that can't get dressed for church can get dressed for a wedding? That's amazing, ain't it? Here's a man fixing to ruin his life and you put on a coat? You come to church, you ought to come with some respect. You ought to come with reverence, amen? You know what the Bible said over there in Malachi chapter 4? He said, if I be a great king, if I be a great father, where is mine honor? He said, take that thing you're offering to me and said, take it now to thy governor and see if he'll accept it. Amen. Amen. If it ain't good enough for men, it ain't good enough for God. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I just believe, I saw a thing the other day. They got two services. They have a traditional service, which they're now calling a mixed service. And that's kind of ambiguous, and I don't know exactly what that is. Then they have a modern service. And the thing says, come as you are. No dress code. Flip-flops optional. They're not optional. They're abomination. Amen. Amen. And don't come dragging your butt in here in your Bermudas. Neither. Amen. Amen. You put on something to cover your neck and it's something thick enough and heavy enough and dark enough, long enough, high enough, so that you come in here looking respectable and give some honor and reverence to the King. Amen? Amen? Now, you may dress like you want to out there in the world. I don't have any control over that. It's a shame. You ought to dress. If it's good enough for church, it ought to be good enough for anywhere. Amen? Amen. Amen. But be that as it may, make your own decision. But bless God, when you come to the house of God, you ought to show some respect. Amen? I don't know how I got stuck on that, but I guess I just wanted to say it. Dr. Jack Woods used to say, I just say what the Lord wants me to say. He said, well, that's not true. He said, I don't want to blame everything I say on the Lord. There's a lot of truth in that sometimes, amen? Where was I at? You ought to be serving God. You ought to find something to do for God. You ought to find some place where you can do something for God.
Amen?
I've been trying for a couple of years to get somebody to adopt or take on a Spanish tract ministry. We buy the tracts. We buy the little holders to put them in. Now all you got to do is go to these Mexican restaurants and about once a week or every 2 weeks and get permission to put a little thing there on the wall or on the counter, and you come by every couple of weeks and just fill it back up and put them little Spanish tracts in it and get you about five or six of them, you got you a little ministry.
Amen.
And you come to church and say, I'm serving the Lord. So how you doing? So the Lord gave me a ministry. What's your ministry? I got a ministry to the Spanish. Amen. You get you a couple old nursing homes or some of them adult daycare centers and make you some rounds about once or twice a week and talk to some of them little old folks and write them some letters, leave some gospel tracts around, have a word of prayer with them.
Amen.
You say, well, when I get to preaching on you sorry devils that don't do anything to serve God, all you do is come to church and you sit there and be as smug as a bug in the rug. So bless God, he ain't talking about me.
Right, amen.
Hey, this one ain't to me, boy. That's right over my head. I mean, that's a zinger. Say, why is that? Well, I've got a ministry. What do? I care for the elderly. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Amen? That's a good ministry.
Amen.
And boy, there's certainly a need for it.
Amen.
You ought to be serving. You ought to find some place to do something for God. Then, I got to move along. I'm running out of time. I didn't think it was going to be this long when I started. What are you laughing at?
That's what happened before.
Not only if you're a saint, you're supposed to be spirit-filled. Amen. The Bible said in Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 3:19 said, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You ever hear people say, old country preacher, say, boy, he's just full of God. God just all over him. Old brother Bobby Utley, I love that fella. I hadn't talked to him in a couple, 3 months, but I think we saw him at the fellowship over there. But I love Brother Bobby. But he's got some of them country sayings that I just love them, you know. I like listening to other preachers talk and see how they say things. And sometimes it's good, sometimes not so good, but it's interesting. But you go up Brother Bobby's and you say, boy, preacher, he said, bless God, said you should have been here last night. He said, this place was just full of God. I know what he means. I know exactly what he means. He means, buddy, they got to praying and singing and shouting and preaching, and the power of God and the Spirit of God came down, and that place just came apart.
Amen.
That's what that means. That means, boy, they had a meeting. That's what that means. He said, oh, preacher, I said, boy, you should have been here last week. He said, it got plumb out of the banks. So what are you talking about? Spirit of God got in that place, boy. They had a meeting. Amen. People got things right. Lives got changed. Families got fixed. That's what it means. It means the power of God came down and did a work in their midst. It wasn't just another preaching service where everybody sat and listened to see how funny the preacher is or how dumb the preacher is. It's a meeting where God got in it and something happened and somebody's life got fixed.
Amen.
I love this next point. If you're a saint, you ought to be steadfast.
Amen.
Now, one of my wife's pet peeves is faithfulness.
Amen.
Now, she just harps on that all the time. I mean, she is a real nagger about some things. And she just believes anybody can be faithful.
Amen.
Amen. Like church.
Yes.
There's just no reason not to be at church.
Amen.
If what you've got is not communicable or confines you to a certain space in the house, you ought to be at church. So, well, my tooth hurt. So? Well, I got a bad headache. So? I come to church many times with a bad headache and felt pretty good when I left.
Amen.
Amen. I just don't think much ought to keep you out of church.
Amen.
If it won't keep you out of work on Monday, it'll not keep you out of church on Sunday.
Amen.
Amen. And sometimes I think you ought to come to church on Sunday even if you're going to lay out on work on Monday.
Amen.
Because God's worth more than your job. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then you got bragging rights. So you can say, well, I tell you what, I was sick as a dog, but I made it to church anyway. I couldn't get down to the workplace there on Monday, but the Lord knows I was in church. Amen. Steadfast. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That is, what you do for God got a recompense. What you do for God got a reward. Amen. That Bible said, see that you receive a full reward. Another place it said, see that no man take your reward. Amen. I want everything God has got for this old fat boy.
Amen.
I want everything I can get. If God wants to give it, I want to take it. Don't you? So, well, preacher, I don't know, you know, I'm just so busy and there's so many things and we're just so preoccupied. You need to redo your schedule. You need to get your priorities straight. God ought to come first. Don't you know that Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. You know what we want to do? We want to seek all these things first and we give what's left over to God. Galatians 6:9 said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for ye shall reap in due season if ye faint not. You know how to get what God's got? Stay at it. Stay at it. Stay at it. This country down here is filled to overflowing with people who, a lot of them are saved, and they say, well, we used to go to church. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to drive a bus. We used to go here and we used to go there. Well, I don't want to hear about you used to, man. I am not a history student. Amen. I either want to live in the present or the future. I don't want to live back here.
Amen.
I got to take care of today, and I'm trying to prepare for tomorrow. There ain't a darn thing I can do about yesterday. Don't give me no history lesson. I don't know what you used to do. I don't care where you used to go. What are you doing now? Amen. You ought to be steadfast. You say, well, I'm saved. Then you ought to get in church. You ought to find you some little ministry to take care of, and then you ought to do it day in and day out and day year in and year out. And when you feel good and when you don't feel good and when the wife understands and when your wife don't understand and when it's convenient and when it's not convenient, I mean, you ought to get you something to do and just do it. What if I pastored this church like some of y'all come to church? Well, we're all going down to the church house then. We hope preachers show up. I do that 2 or 3 times. You wouldn't come back. You say, well, Elbow don't love God and he don't care about people. You never know whether he's going to be there or not.
Amen.
What if you came down here and I'm sitting here and I got my Bible out and I'm going through and say, what are you doing, preacher? Oh, I'm trying to find something to preach on this morning. Well, ain't it a little late? Well, I'm just waiting on God to give me something. Well, some week God don't give me nothing. I make it up myself. Amen. I don't know if it's because whether God ain't talking to me, he's mad at me, or I ain't listening. See? But I'll tell you what, when Sunday morning comes, I'll be ready.
Amen.
Whether I got it or whether God gave it, I'm going to have something. It's going to be outlined. It's going to be illustrated. I'm going to think my way through it. And when I get up to preach it, it's going to come out of my heart and out of my mouth without having me have those big, long, pregnant pauses where I'm trying to think of something to say. I'm going to be filled up and prayed up, and I'm just going to come up here and let it out. Amen. That's like that old black preacher back there in the Civil War. He was preaching up in Richmond, Virginia, and he was real famous. A lot of big shot white guys used to come here and preach. And so one day this newspaper reporter asked him, he said, sir, he said, to what do you attribute your success in the ministry? And I never will forget what the old black guy said. He said, well, he said, I read myself full. I think myself straight. I praise myself hot, and then I just let go. That's what preaching ought to be.
Amen.
Lester Roloff used to come in when he had his radio program. He would come in at 4 o'clock in the morning. He would get on his knees and open his Bible in the studio and read from 4 to 7 and pray. And then he would just get up and give you whatever God gave him that morning. That's preaching.
Amen.
That's preaching. That's preaching with power. That's preaching with anointing. Amen. See why? He's spirit-filled, and he's, I don't know how I got back up there. I was supposed to be on steadfast. Amen. Now, I'm going to be here every Sunday morning. I'm going to be here on Sunday night. I'm going to be here on Wednesday. Now, I got a little slack in the last year or so because I got an associate pastor, and that's a wonderful thing to have. Amen. Now, I know a lot of men got a second man that's been a nightmare because the second man wanted to be the first man and all that stuff, and that's always a risky run, but I'll kill him if he does. So don't worry about it. He's done an excellent job being a good friend, a good associate. Amen. And that's now sometimes things come up, I can call Brother Lewis and he covers for me, and I appreciate that. Amen. For 20 years, I just had to get around things and be here anyhow. I've preached. I worked on a boiler one time. I was black as anybody you ever seen in your life, son. I mean, my clothes were nasty. My skin was nasty. My hair was nasty. You could smell me all the way back to the back thing. And I ran in here, preached for 45 minutes, ran back out the door, went back to work. I used to have to do stuff. Now I said, Brother Lewis, you going to be there tonight? The other night I got worried. I called him, she's going to be there tonight? I said, I don't know. I said, whoa. I started calling my wife. I said, what's Brother Tommy's number? But we made it. So why? I'm going to be steadfast. He said, I said, why'd you quit coming to church? Well, you know, we had some family problems there, and we had a lot of problems with the kids, and we just kind of, man, I ought to put you in church, not out. So, well, you know, we had some health problems there. We was running back and forth to the doctor. I know a lot of folks go to the doctor on Sunday. He took them out of church and I'll put them in church.
Amen.
You know what we need? We need to be steadfast. We ought to make up our mind, I will, by the grace of God, I will be in church on Sunday morning, and I will be on church on Sunday night, and I will be in church on Wednesday night, and I will be at all them special meetings, and I will find me something to do, and I'm going to stay at it till Jesus comes or this old body goes home to glory.
Amen.
Steadfast. Hebrews 12:3 said, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. You know, you think about what Jesus Christ went through and help you stay steadfast.
Yes.
It'll help you from getting wearied in your mind. It'll help you not to faint. When you realize here is the sinless Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth, and the things they did to him, and the lies they told about him, and the way they whipped him, and mocked him, and crucified him. But he didn't quit. He was steadfast. He came for a purpose. He had a mission. There was a reason for him to be here. And he stayed at it, and he stayed at it, until he could hang on the cross and say, it is finished. The work that my Father gave me to do, I have done. And blessed be God, until you get home to glory, you ought to be steadfast. I'm hurrying. I know some of y'all are getting inchy back there. I can see y'all wiggling around. This is so good, I just can't cut it all off. If you're a saint, you ought to be steadfast. You ought to be satisfied. Amen. The Bible said in Psalm 107, verse 9, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Philippians 4:11 said, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content.
Amen.
I don't know about you, I'm satisfied with Jesus.
Amen.
I'm satisfied with my salvation. He filled my hungry soul. 34 years ago, I had something missing down here. I was worried about where I was going to spend eternity. I was afraid to face God, so I denied that there was a God. Boy, there's that whole big vicious circle you get in with all that kind of stuff. And has all kind of psychological ramifications and drives a lot of people crazy and puts them on dope and alcohol and God only knows what all. Amen? And then one night, 25 minutes after 11, I met the Master. The Savior came and He satisfied my hunger. And He gave me a drink of living water, and I've never been thirsty for God again. Say why? Because He put a well of living water bubbling up. Holy Ghost is right in here. Boy, I'll tell you what, when you get saved, when you become a saint of God, it ought to satisfy you. I ain't looked for salvation in 34 years. Say why? God satisfied that need. Amen. And then let me close with this. I'm glad, I know some of y'all are nodding here saying, thank God. If you're a saint, you're saved, you're sealed, you ought to be singing, you ought to be serving, you ought to be Spirit-filled, you ought to be steadfast, you ought to be satisfied, and you ought to be sent. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go ye therefore in all the world. If you're a saint, you've been sent. God gave you a task. God gave you a mission. Say, what's that? To preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
The world is going to die without God and without hope. Say, why is He going to do that? Because the saints have denied their commission. He sent us, and we did not go. I know you can't reach everybody. Most of y'all are never going to see one-tenth of the same people that I see. But that's why it works. I'm not going to see the folks you see. But I'm going to see folks, and you're going to see folks. And if I could reach the ones I see and you reach the ones you see, we reach a bunch.
Amen.
Amen? Now, if you're a saint, you have been sent. You have been given a commission by God to go into the world and do a specific thing. You say, what's that? Preach the gospel. You say, well, the Lord never called me to preach. Oh, yes, He did. He called every disciple. Every disciple to preach the gospel to the lost. Now, He may not have called you to the pastorate. Amen. There's some things God didn't do. God didn't call any of you ladies to pastor a church.
Amen.
And thank God He didn't call most of y'all men to pastor a church. I'm glad He called me.
Amen.
Amen. But that does not relieve me of my responsibility. It's because I get to practice in the pulpit. Does not relieve me of my responsibility to go into the world.
Amen.
Amen. You see, when we gather here, we've come here out of the world. And we've gathered together as the saints. And we come down here to sing and fellowship and rejoice and bear one another's burdens and be fed and get a drink of cool water. And then just like you, I have to go out there and serve. And I've been sent into the world just like you have to preach the gospel to every creature. There's a world out there that needs the message that we have. And they're only going to get it if we take it to them. They're not going to come here to get it.
Amen.
You notice lately how hard it is to get folks in? We've been out now for about 4 or 5 months. We haven't had 50 visitors. And we've asked and asked and asked and asked and asked and asked. You can't get them. You know what you have to do? Just go out there. Just go out there. Are you a saint? Are you saintly? Amen. If you're one of God's saints, practice your sainthood. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Thank You for washing us in the blood of the Lamb, keeping us and watching over us. And I pray now, Lord God, that You'd help us to behave as becometh the saints. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.